Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Easter's a day of joy when we celebrate resurrection and renewal.
No laws really are neutral. All laws really do try to promote a certain idea of the good life.
Male and female are just simply identified, or they're just mere appearances, and you can change that. That is a lie of Satan that we need to understand, and the church needs to be prophetic enough to recognize what is going on there.
Wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is God, the Word, who was incarnate for our salvation. All other wisdoms are but frail or pale attempts to reflect Him.
The Pegs, from Port Huron, Michigan, love listening to Issues Etc. while feeding the cats.
Here is the headline from National Public Radio yesterday. Scientists create early embryos that are part human, part monkey. For the first time, scientists have created embryos that are a mix of human and monkey cells. Why did they do this? Where did they do this? This is a very significant question. And what kind of regulations, laws keep scientists from doing just whatever they want to in areas like this, mixing the cells of two different species? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, April the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the construction of part human, part monkey embryos with Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. Dr. John Maxfield will join us to remember the Diet of Worms. Tomorrow is the 500th anniversary of that event in the Reformation. And then Pastor Matt Harrison will pick up that subject. We'll talk about the present and future challenges to Lutheranism. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Joining us to discuss the construction of part human, part monkey embryos, Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and a recent column for National Review Online titled Scientists Make Human-Monkey Hybrid Embryos. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, good to talk to you again.
The big question, when I saw this headline yesterday, was why? Why would researchers, scientists want to create human-monkey hybrid embryos?
I'm tempted to say because they can. But they claim what they are after is the ability, for example, to perhaps create chimera animals to allow a greater number of organs to be donated. They're already doing that in pigs, but not in the sense that this was done. In pigs, they're doing some genetic alteration so that the, because pig organs are very similar to human organs, and what they want is to be able to make it so that there is not a rejection of the pig organs. But in this situation, they actually created something that's not a controlled experiment in the sense that they created mouse embryos with the IVF procedure, and then they injected human pluripotent stem cells, which are probably embryonic stem cells, into the monkey embryos. And lo and behold, you ended up with human tissues proliferating as these cells differentiated into different kinds of tissues, bone, kidney, and I would say brain probably as well. And that's something brand new. And they destroyed the embryos after 19 days. But, you know, this is just the first step in what could be a long march. And there's really nothing in the law that prevents these kinds of experiments.
Why did the researchers reportedly go to China to carry out these experiments?
Well, this is my opinion. I haven't talked to them. But there's a lot of what happens a lot now is that when an experiment might get bad press here in the States, and certainly these experiments would not qualify for federal government's funding, My friend William Hurlbut of Stanford University, the bioethicist, calls it outsourcing ethics. So they'll just go somewhere else where there's less tension and where there's less scrutiny in terms of ethics. And China, you know, China doesn't exactly care about human dignity, the Chinese government, and the intrinsic sanctity of human life. In fact, China was where the first human genetic engineering experiment occurred, where two children were born that had been genetically engineered with the CRISPR process, that is a gene editing process. Only after the world kind of went in a furor did China react and arrest the scientists. But think about it. This is China. You think they didn't know what that scientist was doing? Give me a break.
Weren't we told by the bright lights of embryonic stem cell research and ethicists that this kind of experimentation with humans would never happen?
Yes, they did. Excuse my laughter, but it was never a serious. That was to make it so the peasants didn't light the torches and get out the pitchforks. I'm of the belief, as I watch this, because the big biotech and the biotech scientists resist any kind of binding regulations. They only want to have voluntary guidelines. Well, and then the voluntary guidelines, not only are they worth the paper they're written on, but they often, the only thing that they will say you can't do is what they cannot yet do. Then as soon as they can do something that they said they wouldn't do, then they change the guidelines, right? So here's another example. They said that during the embryonic stem cell debate, well, we should never keep these experimental embryos going past 14 days. And at the time, I pointed out, well, you can't do it scientifically. And I predicted that once you can do it scientifically, you're going to say, well, now the 14-day rule has to change. And guess what? I didn't have to be John the Baptist or some prophet to be right, because now that they can keep embryos past 14 days, you're seeing all kinds of pressure to now change it to like a 28-day rule. So scientists are not really willing to be bound by any, in my view, in this biotech sector, anything meaningful in these early experiments in the process. And you don't see the government internationally actually trying to say, look, let's have, just for example, let's have a binding moratorium on this human experimentation so that we can get a handle on what's being done and try to work out regulations that would permit us to receive the best of these experiments to help humankind while also not crossing really crucial ethical boundaries. But there's no willingness to do that, and then the government leaders aren't willing to tackle the issue. In fact, President Trump, and I wrote this several times in National Review, President Trump, I yelled, please at least try to get something going so we can have a discussion, and he never even mentioned the issue, and I'm certainly not convinced that Joe Biden will be any better.
So you mentioned moral boundaries. What moral boundaries specifically does this kind of research cross?
Well, you're engaging in experimentation that if you took it toward a situation where such a chimeric animal was born, you would have a real conundrum. Is this a human being? Is it a partial human being? Do we look at the capacities of this creature? Do we give it inherent dignity? Is it cruel to the animal? I would suggest there would be animal abuse there. A monkey certainly is a social being. If you only have a couple of these hybrids that were born, and again, these were not born, are you causing an abuse of animals? There's just so much to think about, and human exceptionalism is really important. For some reason, many today want to blur the distinction between the moral distinction between the human realm and the animal realm. Of course, we're animals biologically, but I'm talking about morally. There's a difference between a human being and an animal in a moral sense. And these kinds of experiments are, if they're not intended to, certainly some, like Richard Dawkins, the atheist proselytizer, has said he would love to see the birth of a hybrid human chimp so that human exceptionalism could be destroyed. So I'm not saying that these particular scientists were engaged in that kind of thinking, but there's certainly ideologues out there that really want to shatter the idea that human beings have a special place as a more in as a part of the moral community and should be considered to be unique in the known universe.
So when we hear these particular researchers and their supporters say, well, look, the goal is never to actually create an organism that is brought to term that exists as a hybrid between a monkey and a human, we ought to bear in mind that that's impossible right now. But if it were possible, they'd probably be doing it anyway.
That's my opinion. They will agree that they don't want to do what they can't yet do. And if they ever, then they conduct the experiments that would be required to get to the place where they could do the thing that they said they didn't want to do, and then the desires shift. I don't trust, honestly, it's not that I'm anti-science, because I'm certainly not. I'm pro-science. Science is a method. But science requires ethics, and it requires ethical rules. And I'm not convinced at all that many of these people in big biotech have any desire to do anything other than what they want. And they're not willing to have any limitations that are actually binding.
The Society for Stem Cell Research is kind of retroactively issuing some guidelines given this new revelation. Does that give you any hope?
No. Because what they will be doing is trying to make it so that this research can go forward full speed ahead with the appearance that there are some meaningful restrictions. And even if they publish these guidelines, that's what they are, guidelines. They're not regulations. They're not legally binding. They're guidelines. And if a scientist decides that he or she wishes to go outside the guidelines, well, and China says, here's a lab, what's to stop them?
What other kind of human experimentation is being done or has been done in China?
Well, that's hard to say because it's such a secretive society. And often what you see, something that has sprung on you after it's a fait accompli, like the CRISPR experiment. But there's an awful lot of research being done over there. And in a society that is completely opaque. So I really can't answer that question because unlike here, where you'd have to have certain ethical IRBs, review boards, and so forth, in China, there's a lot less of that, and it becomes a real problem. Plus, in this country, what can be government-funded is far more restricted than perhaps what is happening over there.
So make the case. You said science needs ethics. Make the case for that. Why does science need ethics?
Because science is amoral. Science is a method. It is a method of determining facts. It is a method of gaining knowledge. It doesn't have a right or wrong. Science can't tell us what's right and what's wrong. It can only tell us what is or what we expect might be based on experiments that we've conducted. So in order for science not to become monstrous, as it has in the past, look at eugenics, look at the human experimentation like the Tuskegee Institute experiments where African Americans were told they were being treated for syphilis, but instead of treating them, the researchers allowed the disease to progress because they wanted to see what would happen. Well, that's an interesting experiment, perhaps from a purely nakedly scientific perspective, but it is utterly immoral and evil to treat people like that. So you need ethics to make sure that science does not get out of control, that you don't do things that violate human dignity, that are cruel to animals. Another regulation of science is what you can do in animal research. You can't just tear animals limb from limb. The old days of vivisection are thankfully gone. And if we're going to have faith in science, if we're going to have trust in science, and if we're going to keep science from becoming a force for bad instead of a force for good, have to have ethical rules. Human experimentation, for example, the Nuremberg Code after World War II and the unethical experiments in the death camps came out and said, gee, you know, there are certain things you have to do if you're going to engage in human experimentation. For example, you have to use animal research first. You have to get proper consent and so forth and so on. Those are important rules that protect humans from being abused and oppressed.
What kind of laws and regulations are needed to keep scientists from pursuing more research of this kind?
I think the main thing you need right now is a moratorium, because we need to find out what is being done, why these things are being sought to be done, what are the potential alternatives, what are the potential consequences. This is something that needs time to work through. So I would say the most important thing right now is a moratorium on this human experimentation. You could continue with animal experimentation to find out how various things might work in terms of biology. But in terms of this kind of human experimentation, I think there should be a moratorium so that we can then look at various experiments and take them one at a time and see whether we want to proceed, allow it to proceed or not. But as long as there's only voluntary guidelines, and as long as there's no ability to actually rein in this work, it's going to go forward. I mean, basically, we're slouching toward Brave New World as if there's no, we're flotsam and jetsam. Yet this is, as I think I said before, the most powerful technology since the splitting of the atom. When they split the atom, they didn't just say, oh, well, go out and experiment. They created regulations. They created non-proliferation in terms of weaponry and so forth. If they can do it for the splitting of the atom, it seems to me you can do it for biotechnology involving human life.
In terms of just kind of popular opinion, I don't think that this kind of experimentation is going to prove to be favorably viewed by the general public. Could these kind of announcements of human-monkey embryo hybrids spark enough visceral revulsion in the average person to actually get something like that done?
I used to think so, but I don't anymore. When I write about these kinds of articles, quite often on these kinds of issues, quite often they get the least reaction of anything I write about. You know, I write quite a lot about a wide variety of issues. And I think that people just feel, well, what can I do? And there's a point there, and that's why governments need to engage the issue. And so far, all I see is abdication throughout the world on that.
Finally, you wrote earlier about the push for a national vaccine mandate. Can you explain to me what happened to the former progressives' disdain and distrust of Big Pharma, Wesley?
That's a good question. You're catching the hypocrisy. It's very interesting, and the left also used to hate big corporations, and now that big corporations are forming a corporatocracy to promote left-wing values and or left-wing politics, suddenly they like them. It's all about power.
What do you mean when you say it's all about power?
Power. It's all about power. If a particular side thinks that Big Pharma and the big corporations are actually going to promote their power, then they like them. And I've never been against Big Pharma. I mean, look at all of the incredible medicines that Big Pharma has come up with. Of course, Big Pharma has its issues, like any big business. I mean, we need checks and balances on all powerful institutions. That's the American way, right? So we have big checks and balances on government. We need checks and balances on this scientific research through proper regulation. You have checks and balances in terms of Big Pharma and what they have to do in order to gain approval for their drugs in terms of safety, in terms of efficacy. But what we don't have right now is our checks and balances on the power of big corporations to basically control, become government enforcers. And that's what's beginning to occur, whether it's in terms of the cancel culture of kicking people off of social media if they engage in argumentation that's heterodox from the mainstream perspective, or whether you have this threat of vaccine mandates, which, by the way, the vaccine passports, I don't believe would be government mandated, but would be mandated by big business so that you couldn't engage in normal activities without proving that you'd been vaccinated. Well, that's not, it seems to me, the role of big business, but that's the role that they're beginning to undertake. And it's a real challenge, I think, to liberty, because there's not the same constitutional question if a big corporation does it than if the federal government does it.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and a recent column for National Review Online titled Scientists Make Human-Monkey Hybrid Embryos. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Wesley, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Good talking to you again.
On the other side, we're going to take up an anniversary, and that is tomorrow, the anniversary, the 500th anniversary of the Diet of Worms, a meeting at which the reformer Martin Luther was branded a heretic by both the church and the state, and an outlaw by the state. Dr. John Maxfield, professor of history and religious studies at Concordia University Edmonton, will be our guest.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christian hope, the Constitution and civic virtue. Daily Bible reading, news media consumption, American revivalism. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th in Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.